So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Ritrasura's Glorious Death, text number 20. Bhavan Atarsin Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Janamohinim Yad Vihayasaram Bhavam Mahapurusatam Gata Bhavan Atharsin Mayavai Vaishnavim Janamohinim Yadvihayasaram Bhavam Mahapurusatam Gata Bhavan, your good self, Atarsit, has surmounted Mayam, the illusory energy. Vai, indeed, Vaishnavim, of Lord Vishnu. Janamohinim, which deludes the mass of people. Yet, since Vihaya, giving up Asuram, of the demons, Bhavam, the mentality, Mahapurusatam, the position of an exalted devotee, Gata, obtained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Purport. Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapaurusha. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu Bhakta Smrto Daiva Asuras Tad Viparyayaha. Vritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee, or Mahapaurusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible if an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata Hunundra Pulinda Pokasa Abhira Samba Yavana Kayasadya Yenye Chapapa Yad Apash Rayashraya Siddhanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andas, Pulindas, Pukasas, Abiras, Sambas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, for He is the Supreme Power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a devotee, a pure devotee, and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then, even if one is a Kirata, Andra, Pulinda, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Maha Paurusha. So, the first point made here is that Vritrasura has surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. This is a very difficult thing to do. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Hesa Guna Mai Mama Maya Duradiya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender unto me, they can very easily cross beyond it. So surrendering to Krishna also, it's not so easy. When I first read the Bhagavad Gita, I was thinking, wow, such a wonderful, nice philosophy. And then I went to the temple, and wonderful, nice devotees, nice temple, everything is so nice. But I didn't realize I was entering into a very difficult process. It's not an easy thing to achieve. You know, pure love of Krishna, or to overcome this illusory energy. Very difficult. But at least we're on the path. Before, we were just, you know, immersed in the illusory energy, just being, as Prabhupada says, just like a soccer ball. You know, a soccer ball gets kicked around by the different players. So the living entities in this world, they're getting kicked around by the illusory energy, just, you know, just suffering the pangs of material existence. Prabhupada gave that example because he used to be a soccer player, you know. When he was young, he used to play soccer. So, someone said Haribo. He was a goalkeeper, yes, because he didn't want to run back and forth. So, but this is the living entities getting kicked around in different species of life. You know, sometimes a dog, sometimes an elephant, sometimes a snake, sometimes a rat. You know, just getting kicked around in this material existence, suffering so much. You know, but the living entity doesn't want to suffer, but forced due to our misuse of independence. Prabhupada gives another interesting example, just like the people, they have dogs and they take their dog on a walk to do their business, and the dog is walking, and then he stops and he's sniffing. Like Chanaka Pandit says, the dogs, they see with their nose. The karmis, they see with their eyes. Because there's all this advertisement everywhere, you know, on the internet also, everywhere, just try to catch their attention. Devotees, they see with their ears. They see with their ears. Yeah. So the dogs, they're walking along and they stop and they're sniffing, always sniffing something. So this dog is sniffing something, and the master's pulling. Come on. The dog doesn't want to go. You see, they're resisting. No, no, I want to smell. There's something that smells good here. Don't pull. But he's pulling. And then he drags him away. So the living entities in this world, they want to enjoy in so many varieties of ways. But the material nature is pulling. Come on. Come on, let's go. No, no, but I want, no, come on, let's go. Next body, come on. No, no, but I want, no, come on, let's go. Prabhupada gave the example of this one man, wealthy man, well-to-do, respected man. He had some health problem. Doctor said, you're gonna die soon. And the man said, well, just give me 4 more years, doctor. Just give me 4 more years and then I'll have all my plans fulfilled. Please, just give me 4 more years. sorry. You don't get 1 second more than you're set for. So, one may ask, well, why does Krishna make this illusory energy so difficult to cross over? Why does he make it so difficult? Why doesn't he make it a little easier? You know, then we could, you know, just cross over and chant Hare Krishna, go back to Krishna. Why? Because when we get things very easily, then we also give up very easily. If we achieve Krishna very easily, then we'll also give it up, give him up easily. But if we give it all we've got, we give it everything we've got, which is what it takes actually, and then when we actually attain Krishna, we'll never give him up. So this is, Krishna wants us to give it all, everything we got, to surmount, to cross over this ocean of material existence and attain Krishna. There's no greater achievement than attaining Krishna. And this is actually the pleasure of the soul, is to attain Krishna, to serve Krishna. There's no greater goal. And once we achieve that, we'll never want to give it up. Therefore, it's stated that, I think in the 10th canto, that if you want to enjoy material life, then don't go to the bank of the Ganges and hear Krishna playing the flute. Because if you do, then you'll never be attracted again to material life. So once one attains Krishna, then we'll never be attracted again to material life. Because this is described that the pleasure of materialistic life, it's just like a drop. Yeah. Let's say someone's dying of thirst, and someone gives them a drop of water. What is that going to do? It's going to tease. It's nothing. It's going to tease. Nothing. So the living entity wants to enjoy. But the material pleasures in this world, it's nothing. This is nothing. Prabhupada said, if there is any pleasure in this world, it's in Hawaii. But in general, there's no happiness in this world. It's just the alleviation of misery. This is the so-called happiness. But real happiness is devotional service, the pleasure of the soul, serving the Supreme Soul. So here also in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that the demigods, they're devotees of the Lord. What does he say here? It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Now, I mentioned the other day that quite often the demigods, they're Sakama devotees. But there's also many great, great demigods. Narada Muni, my hero. Such a great, great Vaishnava. And Lord Brahma, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Lord Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu also demigod, right? Kumara, Kapila, Palado, Janako, Bhishma, Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam, and Yamaraj also. So many of these Mahajans, they're demigods also. So there's many great demigods. But there's one person, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Britya. There's one person who was the supreme amongst all others. You know, there's many great devotees, many great demigods, but Krishna, he's the supreme. And it's described that everyone else is Britya. Well, who knows what Britya means? I know you know. What does Britya mean? Anybody know? It means servant. Krishna is the supreme controller, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, and we are all Britya, servants of Krishna. And we all dance as he causes us to. Now some are dancing for Krishna. Very few. A lot more are dancing for Maya. But Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada. Prabhupada has these wonderful statements he makes. You know. He said, if you dance for Krishna, you become light. And the material existence is lifted. And you develop your love for Krishna. Isn't that a beautiful statement by Prabhupada? When I heard that, I started dancing a lot more. But then I ruined my foot. So. What to do? Hopefully we're in the process of getting it fixed. Yeah. But there's a lot more people dancing for Maya, just like there's discotheques everywhere. Here also, right? Discotheques. They have their music and they're dancing like monkeys. Yeah. Yeah. But the soul is crying. The soul is crying because there's no real happiness there. It's just sense gratification. But when you dance for Krishna, then the soul is so joyful, so happy, dancing for Krishna. So, Prabhupada also, there's this amazing picture of Prabhupada, I think it was a San Francisco Ratha Yatra. Prabhupada's dancing so enthusiastically. You know, it's amazing, you know that picture, amazing picture. Over 70 years old, where do you see 70 year olds dancing? probably not even at the discotheque. You know? There's no old people. Old people don't dance, you know, especially the way Prabhupada would dance so enthusiastically. Just like there was, you know, in the beginning there was the Swami step. And even it was on the radio that we have a new dance coming up now. It's called the Swami. You've heard of the Jatusi and you heard of the twist. Well, now we have the Swami. It's on the radio. So the Swami step was a mellow step, you know, back and forth. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles Temple and there was an enthusiastic kirtan going. And Prabhupada started jumping up and down. No one had ever done that in ISKCON before. So the devotee is like, wow, Prabhupada's jumping. So everybody else started jumping. Everybody's jumping up and down. And it was, you can imagine, first time Prabhupada ever started jumping in the kirtan. So it was ecstatic. And after the kirtan, the leader was calling around all the temples in America, Prabhupada's jumping. What do you mean he's jumping? He's jumping. Prabhupada's jumping. He's jumping up and down. So all over the movement then they started jumping. That's when the jumping started. So Prabhupada was so enthusiastic about all the different aspects of Krishna consciousness. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, who's the best cook in ISKCON? Prabhupada said, I am. Prabhupada was expert at everything. You know, preaching, you know, his preaching is so wonderful. You know, kirtans, everything. Bhajans, everything. Prabhupada just expert at everything. So we're so fortunate that we have such a leader. You know, in America there's one Christian priest. Very favorable. to our society. So he comes regularly to the temple and he's got a Srimad Bhagavatam's head. But he's a Christian preacher. But he predicted that in the future, your Prabhupada, I predict, will become more famous than Jesus Christ. Because already Prabhupada is quite famous in the world. I don't know if I've mentioned this here before, but it's worth repeating. There was, I think in Times Magazine, there was a survey that who were the most successful businessmen after the age of 60. Who became the most successful, the 10 most successful after the age of 60? Prabhupada was one of them. But actually, they don't know. He started after 70. He might be the only one after 70. And that's just, I mean, that's just the material. They're just thinking of the material aspect, because he became a multimillionaire, you know, with all the temples and assets and everything, and cash is in the banks everywhere. He became a multimillionaire. But spiritually, of course, much, much more. So Prabhupada's famous already. So he's given us such a nice process. All we have to do is, Prabhupada, as it's mentioned here in the purport, says here, Prabhupada says, anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. So Prabhupada has set up this society so nicely. Yeah, so nicely. We have this, our spiritual activities are done during the Brahma Muhurta. Yeah, we have Mangalartik. Yeah, we're the only people in the world that are dancing at 4:30 in the morning. And there might be some mothers that are just, you know, from the night before, they might be at the bar, you know, dancing. But we're the only ones that are sober that are dancing at 4:30 in the morning, singing. Singing and dancing, what a great way to start the day. Eh? Yeah. We worship Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Srivastakur, Gadadhar Pandit. So nice. And we chant Hare Krishna, then we have Guru Puja. What a nice way to start the day. I remember when I first joined the movement, I was a little bit of a straggler. You know, I'd come to Mangalartik late, and sometimes I'd miss Mangalartik. I didn't take it very seriously. And then one devotee, he gave a class, and he made an amazing point, which really kind of, it was like kind of woke me up to the seriousness of what Prabhupada has given us. He said, which is better, that we are standing waiting for the curtains to open to see Krishna, or that Krishna, he's waiting for us to come in late? Which is better? So I ask you, which is better? We're waiting for Krishna, or Krishna's waiting for us? Which is better? Huh? We wait for Krishna. Yeah, we should be enthusiastically waiting, yeah, for the curtains to open to see Krishna. And then the curtains open, and he sees us enthusiastically there getting darshan, ready to chant. When I heard that, I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to be a little more serious here. It's a good point. And we should be waiting to get darshan of Krishna. Not that Krishna sees us coming in late. I mean, it doesn't show our enthusiasm. After I heard that, I was like, practically from that day, I got more serious, and I would be there waiting for the curtain to open every day. You know, greeting the deities and Mangalartik. We're very fortunate to have this darshan of their lordship, so we should be enthusiastic to get their darshan, to chant glorification of the spiritual master, glorification of Krishna. And the more we show our sincerity to Krishna, then the more Krishna is going to reveal himself. Yeah, right? Yayatamam papajante, all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them. So this is another way to show our sincerity to Krishna. So here, also, this word, what is it? Mahapurusha. Mahapurusha means, who knows what Mahapurusha means, except for Adi Purusha. Mahapurusha means he's the enjoyer. He's the great enjoyer. Yeah. We're enjoy, we're Prakriti. And Krishna, he's Purusha. Mahapurusha is the great enjoyer. So Krishna, he really knows how to enjoy. Just like he had 16,108 wives. See if anybody can beat that. Yeah. I mean, Krishna really knows how to enjoy. And when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was playing the flute at night. And so many gopis came to associate with Krishna. Thousands and thousands. Any idea how many? I think Gopi Puranadatta said somewhere it was like 3 billion or something. You don't know? 3.5 billion. Okay. So, and what does Krishna do? He's playing the flute. He calls them over. You know, in the dead of night, all these, the most beautiful ladies in all the universe. And what does he tell them? Girls, it's late at night. It's dangerous. Wild animals are here. Go home. Go home. Come on. This is not good. I'm a single brahmachari out here and all you. Go home. And they were all lamenting that Krishna could even speak like this. And Krishna, they said, Krishna, only you could say like this. Here we are, beautiful young girls, in the dead of night, and you're telling us to go home. Only Krishna can speak like this, because he's Atmaram, self-satisfied. So they were lamenting, and they wouldn't go home. Krishna said, all right, let's dance, the rasa dance. And he would tease the gopis sometimes. Raghunath Das Goswami tells of a pastime. It's called the pearl pastime. It was during Kartik. And just like nowadays, Kartik in Vrindavan, it's a big affair. So back then also it's a big affair. So Krishna, he saw that the gopis, they were making these pearl necklaces. So Krishna went to them and said, all right, dear gopis, can you give us some pearls? We want to make some pearl necklaces for the cows. We're not going to give you any pearls, make pearl necklaces for your cows. Go away. No, no, please, give us some pearls. You know, cows are important. Give us some of your pearls. No, we're not going to give you any pearls. Oh, please, come on, be nice. Give us some pearls. And Radharani said, all right, give him some of our discarded, give him some of the unusual pearls. Just give him some of the discarded pearls. So they gave him some of the unusual looking pearls. Now go. And Krishna said, oh yeah? All right. Well, we're going to grow our own pearls. Krishna, you don't grow pearls. Pearls, they come from the ocean, you know, oysters. No, you watch. We're going to grow our own pearls. So Krishna, he went to Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda, Mataji, please, can you give me some pearls? We're going to grow some pearls to make pearl necklaces for the cows. Mother Yasoda said, silly boy, you don't grow pearls. They come from the ocean, from oysters. You can't grow pearls. No, Mata, I can do. You watch. You know? You've seen some of the things I've done. Huh? Come on, give me some pearls. I'm going to grow some pearls. All right, I'll give you some pearls, and you go grow some pearls. So she gave him some pearls. And, you know, Krishna, he's from an agricultural family. So he knew how to grow. You know. Lined them up very nicely. Yeah. And the way he milked or he watered the pearls, he would put milk. He milked them. So we water, he milked the pearls. And after 3 days, there was some sprout. And he told the gopis, called the gopis over, you see, the pearl plants are growing. They're just going to be thorn bushes, the gopis said. No, you watch. Then after 3 weeks, sure enough, pearl bushes, beautiful pearl, different colors, you know, blue and green and yellow and red, and they were even fragrant. Special pearls. They were fragrant. Just beautiful. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they're getting all the pearls from the pearl plants. And they made all these necklaces for the cows. And they made so many necklaces out of these pearl plants, they were putting them on the monkeys also. So the gopis saw all these beautiful pearl necklaces on the cows and the monkeys, and Krishna did it. It's amazing. How do you do that? So they went to Krishna. Krishna, can you give us some of your pearls? Ha! You want us to give you some of our pearls? We asked you for pearls, and you just gave us these discarded pearls, and now you want pearls from us? Ha! Good luck. We're not going to give you any pearls. Oh, please, Krishna, come on, be nice. Give us some pearls. No, we're not going to give you any pearls. All right? Then we're going to grow our own pearls. All right, you grow your own pearls. So they went to their mothers. Mata, can you give us some pearls? We're going to grow some pearls. Can't grow pearls. They come from the ocean. No, Krishna. He did it. That's what we told him. You can't grow pearls. They come from the ocean. Well, that's what we told him. But he planted pearls and he grew pearls. So he can do it. We can do it too. Give us some pearls. All right, here, take some pearls. Yeah, grow some pearls. So they took some pearls. And they're also from an agriculturalist family, so they also knew how to. They lined them up, and they thought, we're going to get better pearls. So they were milking their pearls and also putting ghee and yogurt, thinking they're going to get even better pearls. So they're milking and ghee and yogurting their pearls. And then after 3 days, some sprouts. They called Krishna. Krishna, look. We're growing pearls too. Look, sprouts coming up. And Krishna said, ah, very good. Very good. So then after 3 weeks, the plants grew bigger and bigger. Thorn bushes. No pearls. just thorns. And they're like, how did Krishna do that? You know, he's too much. So then they went to Krishna again. Krishna, we didn't get any pearls from our pearl milking and ghee and yogurting. Give us some pearls. Please, Krishna, give us some of your beautiful pearls. No? We'll give you gold, Krishna. If you give us some of your pearls, we'll give you gold. Gold. Each one of these pearls is more valuable than the Kaustubha gem on Vishnu. And you want to give us gold. Nothing doing. Sorry. Oh, come on, Krishna, please, give us some pearls. So when Raghunath Das Goswami, it goes back and forth, bargaining. You know, they're trying to get the pearls, and Krishna's being very stubborn. You know, Krishna can be stubborn. So it's going back and forth. And finally, Krishna, he's an ocean of mercy. So he gives in, and he gives all the gopis a pearl necklace. And then everybody lived happily ever after. So wonderful. Pearl pastime. So many amazing pastimes of Krishna. Unlimited, wonderful pastimes that we can look forward to in the future. It's like this, it's described how Krishna, one morning he rose early and he started playing the flute, calling his cowherd friends. But the peacocks were nearby, and they came before the cowherd boys. And they were so pleased to hear the flute. They started dancing. Anybody here ever see the peacocks dance? Yeah? Very good. Yeah. I've seen also. Very beautiful. They're very good dancers. So many peacocks came and they're dancing in the courtyard in front of Krishna's home. Many of them are dancing and Krishna's playing the flute, and the cowherd boys came and they're watching the peacocks dance and they're listening to the beautiful flute. Krishna's playing the flute. So they're dancing and dancing and dancing. And Krishna's playing, he's playing, he's playing. And then Krishna, he goes into the courtyard and he starts dancing. And all the peacocks, they separated. Everybody wanted to see Krishna dance. Because Krishna, he's the Vrindavana, not the Bara. He's the best of the dancers in Vrindavan. So Krishna's dancing, and he's dancing. And by then, you know, all the cowherd boys are there, and the gopis are there, and the elderly cowherd men, the elderly gopis are all, it's a big performance by Krishna in Vrindavan. Everybody's watching Krishna dance and play the flute. And then, while he's dancing, the flute, who's a personality in himself, slips from Krishna's hand and is hovering. And it's still playing because it's a personality in itself. Yeah. And now Krishna has two free hands. And now he's really dancing. Yeah. And the flute is still playing. Actually, Prabhupada says in one purport that in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, everything is alive. Everything sees. Everything moves. Everything speaks. There's no dead matter. Everything is alive in Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah. It's like when we were children, we used to see we watched the cartoons. You know, the houses would be moving and speaking. Yeah. Remember? So everything comes from Krishna. So this is the spiritual world. So Krishna, he's dancing and And the flute is playing, and everybody is just amazed to see the wonderful performance by Krishna dancing. And then after some time he stops. And then the leader of the peacocks came. And he said, Krishna, you are the best dancer in Vrindavan. So he took a peacock feather and he put it in Krishna's head. He said, from now on, Krishna, you should always have this peacock feather in your head because you're the best. You're better than all of us peacocks in dancing. So that's how Krishna got the peacock feather in his head. So, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And when we surrender to Krishna, then we can also enjoy it. But only by service to Krishna. Sometimes we serve Krishna with the intention, oh, then I could really enjoy. If I surrender to Krishna, then I'll be the enjoyer also. But it doesn't work that way. We have to selflessly, no motivation other than to please Krishna. And then we will also experience the Sat-Chit-Ananda, the eternality, knowledge, and bliss, which is our constitutional position. So, any questions? Comments? Or corrections? Yes.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. In one place, Srila Prabhupada says that this whole universe is a manifestation of Krishna's flute playing. We also know it's a transformation of Krishna's flute. So in this universe, we can also serve Krishna to his tune.
Also, it said that the Gayatri Mantra also. And Prabhupada also mentioned that that if we could chant the Gayatri Mantra perfectly, then we could, remember, attain our love for Krishna or something. So the Gayatri, actually, believe it or not, you could find the whole Gayatri Mantra in Prabhupada's books. One bhakta, he told me, he chanted the whole thing to me. I didn't know that until he told me. But Prabhupada has the whole Gayatri Mantra in his books. It's supposed to be a secret mantra. But Prabhupada's not so fanatical. But yeah, that's something to look forward to. Hearing the flute of Krishna. Yeah. So many people all around the world are going to concerts. Listen to all these musicians and actually, it's pretty obnoxious. Yeah, you can't even hear. They're singing. They're singing, but you can't hear a word they're singing because of all the obnoxious. You know, it's so loud and horrible, actually. Obnoxious. But the flute playing of Krishna is so pleasing. So pleasing. Can't imagine. So anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.